for music. You know, I think back of what Robin has brought to my life and my family. They've taught me a lot about music, and music is a gift. And when you think about it, music's a universal language because, you know, when a song is sung, it's moving. We think about music at Christmas time. It creates tradition. And when you think about music, like I do more speaking than singing, but music is actually helps you. It moves your heart, but it also moves your head, because you remember more things you sing than just speeches you hear. And music is powerful. And when I think about my prayer for us this Christmas, I pray that God uses his word through the preaching of it and through the songs that we're singing to give us a growing vision of Jesus. You know, I think that's important. We need a growing vision of Christ. We've been in the Gospel of John all year, and if you're visiting today, we studied that whole gospel, and we finished right before Thanksgiving, and the Christmas season, we've come back to John chapter 1, because John chapter 1 is bursting with theology. It's bursting with it. And theology is a word that makes a lot of people uncomfortable for whatever reason, but it shouldn't, because theology is simply the study of God. All of us are theologians. If you have thoughts about God, you're doing theology. The question about theology is our theology accurate? Is it right? Is it consistent with what God has revealed? That's what's important with theology. Everybody's a theologian. And as you think about John 1, it really moves us to right beliefs about Jesus. And I would say that's pretty important in life, to have a right belief about Christ, to believe rightly about who he is and what he said, what God has revealed about him. And right thinking is important. If you think rightly about something, you're going to do it rightly. If you think rightly about God, you're going to live rightly. You're going to live right. You're going to live in a way that honors the Lord. It'll move you to the right mission, the right purpose. And so it's my prayer that John 1 helps us think right. Nathan's already read it. Open your Bibles to John 1, verse 14. That's been a verse that's on our mind. It's kind of what we've been turning our face to. And what I want to do today is kind of continue to hover over John 1. And you see right there, the Word became flesh. Notice it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you've seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So you see that the Word became flesh. The Word, we understand the Word is Christ. John is writing this. He's pointing us to Jesus to understand that who he is and how he came into the world and what he did. And one of the things you see over and over again in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1 especially, you see this revelation that Jesus always existed. And it's right there. This is an important truth for us to think rightly about Jesus, for us to develop a growing vision about Jesus. Let's not miss the fact that he always existed. Now, look at verse 1, John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's capitalized in your Bible like it is mine. He's referencing Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Notice this. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So right here, you see that Jesus always existed. He was there at the beginning of creation. Now, we live in a world that all of our academic institutions and all of our stories on the History Channel, if you understand the National Geographic, TV, all that stuff, what are they going to emulate? They're going to speak of the of the eternal creation is eternal. The universe is eternal. But the universe was created. We see it right there. The world that we live in, it's not eternal. The earth is not eternal. The earth was created. And you see it right there, that God created the world. And when God created the world, he was there. Jesus was there. And there's a guy that you ought to know about. His name's William Lane Craig. He's a well-known thinker of our day. He will constantly be debating. You can search him on YouTube. He debates a lot of apologists or atheists of our day. He's a famous apologist. He has incredible arguments that he makes for the existence of God. And one of the historic philosophical arguments for the existence of God is the cosmological argument for God's existence. And it may have been a minute since you've Googled that or looked that up, but the cosmological argument for the existence of God simply says there was a first mover, that the world was created. And that argument shows that promotes that God created the world. God was the first mover. And it makes the philosophical argument that whatever begins to exist has a cause. There was a cause for that to exist. If, for example, wood, there was something that created wood, that caused wood to exist. And he makes the argument the universe was not eternal. The universe began to exist. The universe has a cause. And let's think rightly about the world, about life, that the universe is not eternal. It was created. And Jesus was there. Oh my goodness, can you imagine what it would have been like when Jesus was there at the creation of the world? I've thought about that. What was it like when it was nothing and the world was created? You know, C.S. Lewis has written this. And it's called The Chronicles of Narnia. I don't know if you've ever read it. I would encourage you to read it. If you're a parent, we read this to our kids. When Robin and I got married, I had never read it as a kid. And we read that together in our first year of marriage before we even had kids. We would drive and Robin would bust it out. And now there's things called audiobooks. You could actually get it there, let someone else read it to you. But I liked it when Robin read it to me. But it's an incredibly creative book by C.S. Lewis. And you ought to read it to your kids. You ought to buy it on Amazon. Unless you know the Amazon guy personally, Mr. Amazon, it'll be after Christmas. But you ought to buy it. You ought to buy this whole set. In the Chronicles of Narnia, in book one, The Magician's Nephew, it's such a cool part in this book. In The Magician's Nephew, there is a moment when Narnia was created. And he describes the moment, and this isn't going to ruin it for you, but Diggory and Polly are there, and there's nothing. It's black. It's completely nothingness. And Uncle Andrew was there, and he was kind of a punk that didn't believe. And Aslan is the picture of God, and Aslan is this lion, and he's regal, and he's majestic. And in his eyes, there is fierceness, but there's also beauty and this sense of love. And Aslan is described as this lion that is not tame, but he's good. And Aslan is there, and all of a sudden C.S. Lewis describes the scene, and there's nothing, and Diggory and Polly start noticing that Aslan is singing. And it's this low note. It's very deep and beautiful and rich. And this note begins to echo. And as Diggory and Polly are looking, they're like, wait, something is happening in front of us. And there's shapes. And all of a sudden, there's this musical, beautiful, bursting sound. And all of a sudden, there's a light. And it's the sun comes into view. And then oh my goodness, there's this beautiful bubbling song that begins to be sung, and this water starts, they start noticing water flowing, and this glorious, full, beautiful little tune comes to just build, and it's just glorious, and there's trees that come about, and it's, and this creation starts coming to life. Oh my goodness, it's such a moving part of that book. You ought to read it. And I've thought about what was it like when creation happened. You know what I've been thinking about? I mean, I always thought from, you know, my arguments with atheist friends and people, like, man, it was a big bang when God said, let there be light. Bam, there was light. But what if creation didn't start with a bang? What if it started with a song? What if it was a song? When Jesus was there at the beginning, as everything that's being made is made, what if it's this beautiful song? You know, I started thinking about where did C.S. Lewis get that idea? Maybe it was from God. There's this moment in the life of Job when Job is struggling and he's like, God, I don't get it. And he's questioning God. And in Job chapter 38, I want you to see this. It says, God says to Job, who is this that darkens counsel by my words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together? And the sons of God shouted for joy. I don't know what creation was like, but one of the things I do know about creation is even though I don't, it seems that it might have started with a song. But what we do know is that Jesus was there. And it's right to think about Jesus. It's right to recognize that Jesus always existed. Can you imagine being there when that song was sung? Oh my goodness. Well, what about being there the moment that Jesus came down to earth? Because you know that the moment that Jesus came down to earth, and folks, let me tell you, Jesus came down to earth. Do you realize that there was a song that was sung? You know, the Bible speaks to this, that, and we've looked at this through the Gospel of John, that the Christmas moment, the moment that Jesus came down to earth, it was light coming into the world. We studied John 8:12 that says, and Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it's right thinking about Christ, recognizing that Jesus came into the world like light. And what light does, it helps us find our way in the darkness. And when you think about the significance of the moment of Jesus coming down to earth, look at John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this moment was huge in history. This moment that we get to come to grips with. And it's my prayer that we come to grips with the truth that Jesus entered the world. This same one that was there at creation, that John 1 says nothing was made without him making it. He came to earth. And to grasp the significance of this is to come to terms with God's message to humanity. And this is something we must think rightly about, that the story of Christmas is a message to humanity that you've got to get, you've got to grasp. It forces you to come face to face with this salvation message that you need a Savior, you need Jesus in your life, and He came down to earth, and it confronts our lostness, and this is what we come to grips with. When Jesus entered the world, light was revealed. Look at verse 4 in John 1. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's grasp this. Let's get a hold of this, that when Jesus entered the world, when He came down to earth, light was shining, and it was an event. Light was revealed. And you know what's fascinating about that? And it's still fascinating to me that though light was revealed, you also see light being rejected. And this is something that is clearly evident in John chapter 1. Look at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So you recognize light is, the world is still trying to reject this light. As the light came into the world, look at verse 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. Folks, when light entered the world, it was revealed, and Jesus was revealed. The world rejected Him. But you know what's beautiful about the world? This moment that Jesus came down to earth, light was received by these shepherds. We're going to read about it this week. It's likely you're like our family. Every Christmas, we gather around on Christmas Day and read Luke 2. Light was received. Let's go back to that moment. In that moment, as the light shone around those shepherds, you know what you hear? You hear a song. Flip over to Luke 2. Flip over to Luke 2 really fast in your Bibles, and it'll be on the screen, but if you have your Bible, flip over there to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And it says this, you'll read this week. It's a famous passage. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And as the shepherds, imagine them, they're out in the field, they're watching the sheep, it's dark, and it's night, it's quiet, and all of a sudden, light comes around them, light shines around them. An angel is there, and he says, "Look, I'm bringing you good news of great joy." And it's fascinating that he says, "Fear not, this news is going to be for all the people." And the shepherds, what an unlikely group. Shepherds, if you understand the concept, the job of a shepherd in the first century, they were kind of outcasts of society. They were dirty. If you were a shepherd, you couldn't even testify in court because you were seen as, you're not very trustworthy, you're kind of a swindler, you're not very smart. And I think it's noteworthy and important to recognize that it was the shepherds in Bethlehem that was not far from Jerusalem. It was widely known, well known, that this was the region that they would keep the sheep for the sacrifices in the temple. This was the place that they would go get the temple sacrifices that would be offered for sin. And it was these shepherds that were out in the field. That's an unlikely group. If I'm going to write a story, I'm going to say, man, the first people I'm going to go to is not the shepherds. It's going to be the Sanhedrin or someone that has authority or has respect. But the first announcement came to these shepherds who were undeserving. They were seen as not very important. But yet, here they were. The first ones. And as this angel says to them, look at verse 11 in Luke 2, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Can you imagine those guys? Getting the word us? Unto us this day a Savior's born? Who is Christ the Lord? And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. I mean, let's think about it. This is a moment. The light came into the world with these shepherds. And notice verse 13. Notice the song. "And suddenly there was an angel, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God." Can you imagine being there when that song was sung? As the shepherds in the quiet night, if you've been in the woods, probably. I was in the woods not too long ago, just a deer season, and it's dark, and I'm by myself, and I'm looking to the west. And man, all of a sudden, the sun comes up behind me and lights up the wood, like the whole, it was so striking. A song was likely sung when the world was created, when the world came to life. In this moment, as Christ comes down to earth, the heavenly host gather around that angel. If that wasn't intimidating enough to those shepherds, here's the heavenly host around them praising the Lord. Can you imagine being there when that song was sung? What do they say? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." You know, it's fascinating to me that we still live in a world where undeserving people like me and you, and light came into the world, light entered the world, light was rejected still by many. But oh, to those who receive the light, to those who embrace the song that was sung to the world in that dark night, oh, look at John 1, 12 and 13. Look at the results of this. Look at what happens when those who receive him. He says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Those that receive the message, we have the right to become his children. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine being there in that moment when that song was sung? That light has come, a Savior has come, and it's for you. Those shepherds heard that. And man, as I think about something we thought about last week, and I want us to keep thinking about it today. Did you know we see in this moment when Christ came down to earth, John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And I want us to catch, to think rightly about Christ, to let God's word help us think rightly here, because if we think rightly, we'll live rightly, and we've got to recognize this same Jesus is still dwelling among us. You know that, right? That Jesus is still dwelling among us right now. He came to dwell among with you and with me. And, you know, 2,000 years ago, Christ entered the world and a song was sung. Have you thought about the song that's still being sung? You know, the Old Testament is full of these prophets who get these words from God, and they don't fully grasp it, and they're trying to understand their times and their circumstances, and they're trying to figure it out. They get these messages about this Messiah that was going to enter the world, and this happened hundreds of years before Christ entered the world. One of those prophets is Zephaniah. You know what he wrote? Zephaniah 3:17. He gets this message from God. The Lord your God is in your midst. He's in your midst. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. You know, it's this week, I've just been mesmerized at the possibility that C.S. Lewis might have been right. That creation began not with this violent, bam, there's light. But maybe it was a beautiful song. The God of all creation, the master of this whole place with incredible force, power, intentionality, beauty, joy, and grace simply sang, and the world that we see came into existence. Oh, that there was a song sung. The moment that Jesus entered the world, and when such joy happens, is there any other response but singing? When Christ entered the world and said, hey, unto you a child is born. And now we live at a time that the Holy Spirit is working, moving in us, moving us as believers, what? To love one another, to love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And you know, I look at this message from Zephaniah. Let's look at it again. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. You know, this morning, you know what I pray? This is out of my zone of comfort. I'm more of a rapper. But you know what? I was wrestling through this message this week. I kept seeing these songs. A song at creation. A song at the coming of Christ. This Zephaniah promise that the Lord is in our midst. And he sings over us. And I just thought, what if God is still singing, what's he singing? What's he singing to you this Christmas? To me this Christmas? I think it's this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And you may be like me and like, I don't deserve that. I know. I can't earn that. You're right. Do you know what God is saying to us this Christmas that I pray we embrace? That I pray you embrace? I think God is saying to you and to me simply, I love you. I love you. I was talking to my father-in-law about this. You know, he goes, remember Dennis Jernigan? long time ago in the 90s. Yeah. And he wrote this song. And, look, I want you to recognize God loves you. And I want to sing this song over you. And I want you to think about what God is singing over us as he dwells in our midst. Dennis Jernigan wrote this song. It goes like this. When the night is falling and the day is done, I can hear you calling, come, I will come, while you sing over me. When the night surrounds me, all my dreams undone, I can hear you calling, come, I will come. While you sing over me, when the night would hide my way, I will listen until I hear you say, how I love you, child, I love you. How I love you, child, I love you. Life is over and my race is run, I will hear you calling, come, I will come, while you sing over me. When the night would hide my way, I will listen until I hear you say, how I love you, child, I love you. How I love you, child, I love you. How I love you. How I love you, child, I love you. How I love you, child, I love you. I love you. You know what I want you to remember? The Christmas message is that God loves you. And that's why he this master of the universe that created everything we see, that nothing would be made without him, likely sang a song and creation came into view. This same Jesus, the moment that he entered the world, angels could not help but sing. And now I want you to know something. Right now. Right now. This Christmas. God wants you to know that he loves you. So I want you to just imagine. Maybe Dennis Jernigan is right. That God right now is singing, he loves you. How I love you, child, I love 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 you. How I love you. Would you stand with me? Sing it with me. How I love you, child, I love you. How I love you, child, I love you. I love you. How I love you, child, I love you. How I love you, child, I love you. I love you. You know, our altars are going to be open, and there's going to be some staff and some people around here. And maybe this, as Christmas unfolds this week, this is something you just needed to hear. He loves you. Our altars are open.